You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, the Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Wayne Majars from Loyola University with you this morning. Father Greg has the day off, a well-deserved rest for a hardworking priest of the Archdiocese, right, Nancy?
Oh, that's what I hear.
Of course. Entering actually on the threshold of the third Sunday of Advent, otherwise known as Gaudete Sunday, where we go from a period of preparation and hope to anticipation and expectancy in the season of Advent, with just a little over 2 weeks left till Christmas. And one person that I know of hasn't even started his Christmas shopping, so it's not going to be pretty. Welcome into the program this morning. Thanks for joining us. Last year, many of you know, the Archdiocese of Chicago and the Dioceses of Joliet and Rockford participated in Catholics Come Home, a parish and media initiative which was really designed to bring Catholics who had fallen away from the church back into the pews. The campaign utilized television, radio, and parish communication vehicles to tell the story of the church, both from its historical roots to the work and ministries of today. Now, beginning on December 17th, just 8 days away, but who's counting?
I'm counting.
It will continue for 1 month, and Catholics Come Home 2 is coming back to Chicago, Joliet, and Rockford. It will return with a new media approach. It will focus on church as a spiritual home. You'll see TV commercials, ads on the CTA in three different languages, and the message will be inviting viewers to return to their faith. TV ads will also incite those who have no religious affiliation to find a home in the Catholic Church, which is kind of a new angle. So joining us this morning is the expert, the coordinator of all of this for the Archdiocese of Chicago, Nancy Polacek from the Office of Evangelization. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. You know, I'm much more comfortable with the title of coordinator than expert. But
all right, fair enough. We'll go with coordinator. Thanks for being with us. And you're in the thick now of the ninth inning, if you will, for planning for Catholics Come Home 2. But before we go to 2, let's talk a little bit about 1. And from your perspective as the coordinator, how did it go?
You know, it was a really exciting year. There were parishes that may never have had an objective or a goal that centered around evangelization. And they were talking about evangelization last year. They were putting out programs. They were cleaning up churches, putting up signs for people. And we didn't have a tsunami of people. You know, it wasn't just people breaking down the doors. But we did have people return. And our office, the Office for Evangelization, was responsible for getting the stories, hearing what people had to say about how they returned and why they returned. So there were definitely more people in the pews. In fact, our February count, which took place about 2 weeks after the ads ran, said that we had an 8.1 increase in mass attendance. We had pastors tell us, about 100 pastors said that there were more people coming to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Pastors were thrilled that their parish staffs were more engaged in evangelization. So there's stories, there's data, you know, all of that together said it was a success. And I would say about 90% of the pastors that sent in a survey said, we have to have something that continues this. You cannot just try 1 year. You've got to use right. The media in order to reach out to people who aren't coming to church.
Yeah, and in many ways, the counts in the pews are one thing, but it's mm-hmm. even more important to see the seeds of evangelization growing in the individual parishes.
Right, yeah. Right.
And let's just take a step back, because we were talking before the program this morning, because we've talked about Catholics Come Home on this show before, but this is really, as an initiative, a national, international initiative, not very old. It's only 2008, right?
Yeah, you know, there is one man who is responsible for these ads, and that's Tom Peterson. He has a national organization that's housed down in Georgia. And I would say it's about a decade, maybe a little over 10 years ago, he would have claimed himself to be Catholic, but not very active. And someone invited him to attend a retreat. And on that retreat, he had a true conversion experience and realized that he could be using his skills and talents in order to bring people to God and to grow the church. And so from that retreat came Catholics Come Home advertisements. But that was many years in the making. And so the first real rollout of these major ads happened in about 2008, and that was in Arizona and Corpus Christi, Texas, and Chicago came on the following year. So you're right, there isn't a lot of history, and so we are collecting those stories and that little bit of data as we go along to see how advertisement can help Catholics feel responsible and return to the practice of the faith.
Yeah, and it's really, when you reflect on it, it's really a calling, because in some ways, all of the work that has been done in evangelization across the country, especially here in the States, you know, the power of the media, the power of Facebook, the power of different vehicles that get to young people especially, what better way than to really use those media vehicles and the power in which they harness to talk directly to those who are fallen away from the church.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to what's going to be happening this year. Last year, we really just focused on television and those kinds of ads. This year, the Archdiocese is putting in maybe half the amount of money for half the number of ads, but we're boosting the campaign with print ads on the L lines, on buses, Facebook. We've got some video testimonials that we'll be sending out to parishes that will be available on websites, because we realize that the TV ads reach a certain audience, but we also need to pay attention to younger audiences, who those are the ones who don't watch television. They're not sitting in a living room at 7 o'clock at night. They're going to their computers to watch TV, and they're eliminating ads, but what they're doing is checking Facebook and YouTube, and they take the train a lot, and they've got their smartphones on the train, so they can check websites and the internet while they're commuting.
So is it safe to conclude that this second wave is really going to be, from a demographic perspective, a lot more inclusive? I mean, in who you're really trying to reach?
It's broadening the span, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned vehicles like Facebook and YouTube. And if you look even in the Archdiocese of Chicago here, the way we have used media like that in different ways to communicate, to educate the faithful, to get the word out about things going on within the Archdiocese of Chicago. To what extent is Catholics Come Home really looking at, and I guess the best way to frame this is the influence of parent, the influence of family. I mean, in so many instances, if mom or dad fall away from the church, the children fall away as well. Or if mom and dad are back in the pews, the children follow them. Is that a dimension to how Catholics Come Home works?
Well, you just hit on one of my favorite topics.
All right. That said, I'm gonna be like Howie Mandel on Deal or No Deal, saying we'll get back to that right after a break.
Oh,
you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. It is 9:09 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
His Eminence Francis Cardinal George and Monsignor Michael Boland invite you to this year's 21st Annual Spirit of St. Nicholas Ball on Friday, December 3rd at the Hilton Chicago. Chair couple Dorothy and Ed Waymer are planning this black tie event, which will feature cocktails at 6:30 followed by a sumptuous dinner in the International Ballroom. Entertainment by the Ken Arlen Orchestra will round out the evening. Proceeds will benefit children served by Catholic Charities programs in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call Jennifer Wolfe at 312-948-6797.
Welcome back into the show. Nancy Palachek is with us. She is the coordinator of the Archdiocese of Chicago's Catholics Come Home campaign, part two, which is starting on December 17th. Before the break, Nancy, we were talking about the influence of family and parent and children in the messaging behind Catholics Come Home, and you were just about ready to jump into a study, so
go for it. Well, this helps me to almost jump out of my seat because it's so important for people to hear. You know, for about 13 years, I worked in catechesis as a director of religious education, and one of the things that I told parents all the time is there was a survey by the Search Institute in Minnesota that looked at young people who were active in their faith or had a mature faith. So these were like 20-somethings who were no longer living at home, but were all participating in a faith tradition, not necessarily Catholic. So what was it that brought them to that point in their lives where they had a mature faith without someone telling them to go to Mass? And the Search Institute found in their surveys three commonalities. And the first one was that there were regular faith conversations with these young people as they were growing up. Mom and Dad were talking about their faith. The second thing is that there were regular faith traditions. So in my house, I'm thinking like the Advent calendar or special ways to celebrate holy days like Easter. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing was that there was regular faith-based service. And all of these happened in the home when they were growing up. Didn't matter what denomination, didn't matter what school you went to. It was the home and these regular patterns of faith that brought people to be active, going to church, you know, when they were out of their home and nobody was telling them to go.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at conversations, traditions, and service, it seems to me that that is even a greater struggle today than it was 5 or 10 years ago with the competing needs for time, the ability for parents and their kids to sit around the table and even have dinner together. How do you tackle these three components when everyone is off doing their own thing at baseball practice and school and other time constraints? So where do you, you know, that's a dimension of it, but so are peers, mm-hmm. right, within the schools. I mean, we see it a lot at the university level on the ability for various faith traditions, as we say, living in common, understanding one another, communicating with one another. But that doesn't happen unless the young people have had these experiences and foundations from before. It's very difficult to influence that later on in life,
isn't it? That's absolutely right. And, you know, the Cardinal has asked the Office for Evangelization to provide parishes, and I say households, with the tools to have people grow in their faith. So one of the things we did this year, and it was kind of in collaboration with Catholics Come Home, we created a tool that people could use in their household that would cause conversations of faith and possibly cause the beginning of a tradition, a faith tradition. And anyone who's listening can go to the website. I'm going to tell you the website is www.catholicscomehomechicago.org. If you click on resources, one of the very first lines under there is called Household of God. And they can print out in English or Spanish a Household of God set of activities. It takes 20 to 30 minutes for a family or just a household, whether you know, it's parents and children. It can mm-hmm. be anybody that lives together to have a conversation of what their faith means to them in this time of Advent. So we have a resource to help people talk about their faith.
And that's probably, I can imagine a lot of parents listening this morning out there going, oh, thank goodness, a way, something to help me get this started, because that's not in a typical household, whether they are churchgoers or not, that is not an easy conversation for a parent to have.
Absolutely.
So where do you start? Mm-hmm. And what do I say? And how do I engage? And how do I make this conversational piece of the three-legged stool that you just mentioned really worthwhile and meaningful so that it really takes roots and flourishes?
Well, as a director of religious education, we used to always tell parents, you are your child's first and most important catechist. So go home and teach them and have conversations of faith. And it was probably 2 years into my work where a parent said, you know, it sounds great. I don't know how to do this. No. Give me a way. And so the rest of what we did in our parish and that what I'm hoping we can do in the Office for Evangelization is give these really concrete ways where people can have conversations, start traditions, and grow faith in a home, and that will have a huge impact.
Some of those traditions are also tied to the ethnicity of the family, too, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. even if you dial back a couple of three decades throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago, and the fact that so many parishes cropped up in so many neighborhoods, and they were 50 yards from one another, but this was the Irish parish, this was the Italian parish, mm-hmm. and in many ways, those faith communities were built on those traditions of those families and individuals who came there from various parts of the world. Is that a piece of this for families to understand? I mean, for them to really not only look at their faith traditions, but also some of the traditions that may have come from within their Italian background, Polish mm-hmm. background, mm-hmm. Hispanic background, because there's a lot of richness there too.
You know, and it's really hard to create one tool for all of those different ethnic traditions, but this Household of God activity starts out by saying, bring to the group, bring to the table something that reminds you of a past Christmas and tell the story of where it came from, you know, and who gave it to you. So basically, you're giving people a chance to have that conversation about, you know, a parent saying, when I was a little girl, or, you know, when I was younger, this is what my family did. And then a whole family can decide, is this something we want to continue?
Yeah. You know? How do you know, or do you know, if you're getting through, if the message is getting received?
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to go through the motions, and I would imagine a lot of parents could resonate with this, and that is, I take my kids to church, and they just kind of sit there, mm-hmm. and I have this sinking feeling inside that when the day stops that I stop taking them, they'll stop going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if all it is a behavior that is surface, and not anything that has true meaning, you're absolutely right. It will fade out when the obligation is over with. But if on the way home from church, your family is talking about what that gospel message was for each person, we used to tell parents, find the treasure in every Mass. And so the children afterwards would have to say, what was the one thing, the prayer, the song, the scripture reading that was a treasure for them? So if you provide meaning, and it's not just a behavior that you do without thinking about, then it really has a way to sink into someone.
So don't just leave it as an act to be performed every week, but after you leave, talk about it. And that's a platform, right?
Yeah, it is. And if you're going to Mass and the only time during a week, which is 144 hours or something, you figure that one out, and all you do as a family is 1 hour of Mass in that 144 hours, you know what? The rest of the world is going to infiltrate a child's mind and a family's lifestyle. You need to find maybe something every day. Is there a way that you bless your kids before you go to bed? Is there a way that you talk or pray and maybe say grace before dinner? Is there something every day? Or are you only relegating 1 hour in an entire week for faith?
And that gets to the point of making it a priority within the family, because it would be easy for it to fall further down on the list with other competing interests at all levels, from mm-hmm. the parents' level and from the siblings' level. We want to get to kind of the message of this second wave of Catholics Come Home, which is a nice transition, which is the focus on church as the spiritual home. And we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 9:20 in the morning. We shall return.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Irrelevant Radio 950 AM. Wayne Madjar is with you this morning. Nancy Polacek is my guest. She is the coordinator for the Catholics Come Home program throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we will be joined again by the Diocese of Joliet and Rockford in this second wave, which begins on December 17th, Nancy. And one of the shifts, if you will, of message for this second run is going to be the church as spiritual home. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what that means.
Well, first of all, let me go backwards, that a lot of the research about people who have left the Catholic Church, many of them said that they just didn't feel fed, they didn't feel nourished by the church. You know, I don't understand that. I feel like my life is completely enriched by my attention to Catholicism. But there were people who said that. And so we want parishes to provide places for people to pray. We want parishes to be welcoming so that it does feel like a community, like a home. So we've offered some ideas for ushers to be a little bit more like greeters, to encourage people to participate in things. We've asked ushers to introduce a new person to somebody else who's there so that there is this building of a community, and that as people are coming into church, that every parishioner is responsible for welcoming. You know, all it takes is a smile and a handshake and an introduction, and then people feel like they are welcome, that they want to be there. So it's about community.
I have to tell you a story. about 5 years ago, I happened to be in Los Angeles, and I had not yet seen the new cathedral. Mm-hmm. It was a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, entering through one of the side doors. And who's at the door greeting everyone on the way in but Cardinal Mahoney? Mm-hmm. After Mass, have you been to the cathedral?
No, I have not.
It's an absolutely, you know, there are its critics, there are its supporters. It's a very modern cathedral, but it's very beautiful in many ways. And it also has, which is really the point of my story, its own underground parking and its own plaza and coffee shop and meeting rooms and conference rooms. So for the first time in my life, after this 10 o'clock Mass that the Cardinal celebrated on this Sunday, rather than run to their cars and leave to go back home or do whatever they needed to do, at least 60% of the congregation actually stuck around. They hung out in the plaza for coffee. They were talking with one another. A few of the priests on staff and the cardinal were out there meeting and greeting. And talk about a slap in the face for community and what that means. Kids, families, senior citizens doing and celebrating their faith and talking with one another and building community right after celebrating the Eucharist, a very, very powerful experience that I had not experienced before in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and how hard is it to smile and introduce yourself and have a conversation and walk over to hospitality where there's coffee and donuts? That's not a difficult thing, but I think in our age, people are so used to rushing away. People are connected well, but they're connected through electronic media, the internet, and there's not the face-to-face. Our church has to provide opportunities to have the face-to-face.
I suggest you change the name of the campaign to Catholics Come Home and Stay Home. How about that?
Yeah.
Or well, stay away from home, whatever. You have a very dynamic website out there as well, which provides additional resources for this initiative. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the website changes just about every week. Doug Stearns in the Office for Evangelization is the one that puts things up and takes them down and moves it around. And so we're going to be having some video testimonials, people from the Chicago area for a minute or two just saying why their faith is important to them. Those will start coming up next week. They'll be changed every week. So we really want people to go and get some resources and to see these testimonials, pass this website on to other people who may have been away from the church and need to hear the message that we miss you, we want you back, and there are people whose faith is so strong that you can be inspired by them.
And another way, I would imagine, to make a great influence here is to get more immersed and involved in the community that is your parish. Right?
Yes. Yeah, I know. There isn't a pastor in the world that would say, no, we don't have enough volunteers. So, you know, if your interest is studying, you know, start a scripture study group. If you're interested in that spiritual connection, start a prayer group. Do something where you tour other faith traditions. You know, learn a little bit more about what the Catholic Church has done over the last 2,000 years. There's so many ways to make your faith really meaningful.
And bring a friend or two.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Give us the web address once more.
www.catholicscomehomechicago.org. And there's
don't
a church.
Forget the Chicago.
Yeah, don't forget Chicago. The Chicago. There's a church finder on there. So if you haven't been participating in a parish, you can go to the church finder and find the local churches and information about them.
We're going to see new TV ads, many of which are going to have a local piece to them because we were talking before the program of the very powerful epic spot that was part of Catholics Come Home 1. This one is going to have an abbreviated version of that with some Chicago flavors, right?
Right. The epic ad will be 30 seconds or 60 seconds. It's not the full two-minute version. And it has spliced into it a couple of images of Chicago. So Holy Name Cathedral is in there. There's an image of the lakefront. It's really lovely, and it makes you realize it's not just this generic, you know, come home to the Catholic Church. It's come home to the Church of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know, with some local people in it.
Well, 8 days and counting. Congratulations on all the good work you've done before and continued success now with this second wave of Catholics Come Home. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Nancy Polacek is the coordinator of the Catholics Come Home campaign throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago, and you are listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's coming up to 9:30. I'm Wayne Magyars, and we will be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back into Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. It's 9:32 in the morning. Wayne Magyar is with you. Father Greg is off today in a little parish business and a well-deserved respite from his duties here at the Archbishop Quigley Center Media Control Command capsule in the lower level. We can call it a capsule, can't we, Father Jim?
It looks like that.
It looks like a little like a capsule. We are on the threshold of the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, moving from really a period of preparation and hope in the Advent season to one of anticipation and expectancy. So what better time than now to talk about that anticipation and expectancy, but in the context of the infancy narratives. In just about 2 weeks, we'll celebrate the great feast of Christmas. We've all heard the story, of course, of the birth of Christ, and probably the richest story of all the four evangelists, and we could debate whether it's the richest or not, is that which exists in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll talk a little bit about why that is, a little bit of the distinctions on how the infancy narratives are represented or not in some of the other Gospels, and we have the expert par excellence with us today, Father Jim McElhone, who is the newly appointed Director of Biblical Studies for the Archdiocese of Chicago. He is also a former professor at the University of... Are you still teaching at St. Mary of the Lake? Or
Not really, okay. Not right now.
Former professor of St. Mary of the Lake out of Mundelein and a member of several biblical and theological associations across the nation. Welcome, Father Jim. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What does a director of biblical studies for the Archdiocese do?
Well, basically, we're trying to figure out what the job actually is at this stage of the game. Maybe a little history of the development of it might help.
Sure.
Earlier this year, the Cardinal asked me to be a part of the implementation of the apostolic exhortation from the Synod of the Word of God. Two years ago, a number of bishops met in Rome, the Cardinal among them, for a discussion of how we can make the Word of God more relevant in the lives of Catholic people. And they proposed 57 propositions which went to the Holy Father. And as with all synods, those 57 propositions were then turned into a letter known as an apostolic exhortation, which sort of brings out how we can handle this and do this in the context of dioceses. So with the advent of, there's another advent term, with the advent of the apostolic exhortation, the cardinal had asked me if I would be willing to be part of the implementation of that. Now, the only difficulty was at the point at which he asked me, there was no exhortation, and in fact, the apostolic exhortation came out in mid-November of this year in the letter Verbum Domini that was released by the Holy Father. And basically, it talks about all the different things that have been done in the context of the church for the past 50 or 60 years. It's a very nice summary, and then tries to see how we can implement all of the ideas and all of the theology that has been developed in terms of the Word of God in practical situations, in mission work, in evangelization, in catechesis, in liturgy, etc. And it's in that area that I see myself fitting into that, working with the various offices of the chancery, etc.
Okay, so when you say bringing or making the Word of God relevant as really the underlying message here, that really is a broad brushstroke in how you cut across all those divisions and areas that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you don't know the answer to this yet because you're relatively new on the job, but where do you begin to harness all of that to try to begin to tackle this?
Well, one of the things that I'm doing right now is looking at what is going on in biblical formation in the archdiocese as it exists today. And having been in the seminary for 23 years, I'm very familiar with the biblical formation of priests. I've been doing that. Now I have to experience and learn what's being done in the context of deacons, lay people, ministers, etc. And so I've been participating in several programs. I've been participating by teaching. And I think that's one of the good ways of seeing what the program is all about and seeing what the people are and how the people are dealing with the question as they're in it. And so I've taught in the Called and Gifted program this past semester. I'm teaching the New Testament intro course to them. I'm with the Catechist Certification Program, where catechists deal with various theological topics to get some background and then are certified as a catechist. I'm dealing with the second level of that, the Catechist Leadership Program, doing an introduction to the Old Testament course in that. And I've also worked with the Chicago Catholic Scripture School with a couple of classes, one, interestingly enough, on the infancy narratives, and just to see how that program developed, and have been asked to do an assessment of the text that they're using in that program.
So you're in the input stage right now.
Right, I'm in the input stage, right.
And what do you expect will come out of this? You've had a lot of experience in this area yourself in your history. You've been on faculties, and the concept of relevance and trying to kind of take the temperature of faith communities for the relevance of the Word, the relevance of different faith traditions within their life is complex.
Yes.
It's multidimensional. How do you know, I guess, at some point in time if it's working? How do you judge its success?
I think one of the things is people become excited about the Scriptures. I've been in parishes, preaching in parishes, and people more and more want to hear about the Scriptures. And I think that's one of the places where we see success. And one of the things that I want to see is how can we best utilize the resources that are available to bring that excitement about the Scriptures and the Word of God to as many people as possible. Looking at it from the point of view of myself or even marshaling all the Scripture people in the diocese, we couldn't possibly touch all the parishes in the diocese to make this a diocesan-wide. The cardinal said to me at one point in time, I want you to get the whole diocese interested in Scripture. And that's quite a massive task to lay upon a person.
And you have until Friday to do it. and I would imagine it's especially challenging across a wide variety of demographics.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals who are have been exposed to Scripture study, individuals who kind of have the theological and the philosophical background to understand and probe and ask questions are going to have a better time getting it, if you will, than younger people who maybe don't have that kind of experience.
Exactly. Right? But what I found is, again, working in parishes that I've been involved with, the broad spectrum does pick up, and people get something at whatever level they're at when you present a series or when you present a course or a talk or something of that sort. Everybody gets something at their particular level.
Yeah.
And you can begin to see questions coming up, and they come up on all different levels. Very, very, you know, erudite, astute questions and very, very simple questions.
Yeah, and that's a good point because one person getting it doesn't necessarily equal what another person's getting it means. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, and then we want to get to the infancy narratives as well. My guest is Father Jim McElhone, who is newly appointed Director of Biblical Studies for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be right back.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. This December, Catholic Charities Junior Board needs volunteers to help unwrap the spirit during our celebration of giving. Your help is needed for several heartfelt opportunities to help local children and families have a joyous Christmas. December 4th and 5th, we need volunteers to help sort and package toys at the IBEW Hall at 600 West Washington. December 11th and 12th, volunteers can help us fill gift orders for children at our toy room at 1455 West Hubbard. On December 18th, we're looking for volunteers who can help make the season bright for our clients at our annual Early Childhood Christmas Party at our main office at LaSalle and Superior. There's always a way to help your neighbors at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 9:43 in the morning. My guest is Father Jim McElhone, who is the newly appointed, my mistake, Director of Biblical Formation, not Biblical Studies, for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Father McElhone has a long list of accomplishments. He is holds a Doctor of Philosophy degree from our Jesuit friends up north in Milwaukee, Marquette University, and an MDiv and licentiate from University of St. Mary the Lake. And He is charged in his new role with making the Word of God relevant to all in the Archdiocese of Chicago. It's a tall order, but I think you're up for the job. Let's talk a little bit about what you've just finished, actually, an in-service with the Pastoral Center here at Quigley and also at the Cardinal Meyer Center on the infancy narratives. But just before we shift to that, let's talk a little bit about we're approaching now the third Sunday of Advent. And as we mentioned in the opening of the program, we're now moving from really a theme or feeling, if you will, of preparation and hope, which really takes place in the earlier portion of Advent, to one of anticipation and expectancy. Talk a little bit about that and how that really transitions us to the great feast of Christmas.
Okay. Advent basically comes from a Latin word, adventus, means waiting, which means waiting or expectation. And so it is a period of waiting, Israel waiting for the Messiah, we waiting for Christmas, etc. But really there are three awaitings or expectations that go on in Advent. And I like that distinction that you made of the two parts of Advent. Israel awaits the coming of her Messiah. That's going on right now, in fact. If you look at the understanding of Israel, or Judaism is still waiting for the Messiah. Mary awaits the birth of her son. You know, we're moving into that area now where the infancy narratives become very significant. But the third, I think, is the most important, oddly enough, and that's we await the second coming of the Son of Man. You know, we say Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And so the beginning of Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, has this very unusual, almost apocalyptic type of reading about the sun being darkened and the moon falling and the stars coming out of the sky and the end of the world type of thing. And basically, that's to show us that, yeah, we're also in another Advent. And I like to say that Advent is probably the one liturgical season that fits our life, our whole life. It's an Advent. And the message that comes out of that first Sunday of Advent is be ready, be watchful, be prepared. And those are three imperatives that I think are very, very important for us as we live our lives. Be ready, be watchful, be prepared, be awake to meet the Lord when the Lord comes. You know, the parable of the 10 virgins where the 5 fell asleep, but they weren't able to enter into the feast because they weren't awake.
Yeah.
You know, these are important things. And many times we talk about, you know, getting ready for Christmas and preparation for Christmas, which is all well and good, but always incorporate that preparation of us for the second coming of Christ into all of that and carry that beyond.
That's a wonderful perspective, and we hear often about Advent and the preparation period, and I think we lose sight of the dimension that you just described, because mm-hmm. we almost look at Advent as a countdown and the the lights on the Advent candle as a reminder of how much time we have until we have to finish our Christmas shopping. Mm-hmm. We have to plan the parties. We have
yes.
to, and that's unfortunate.
Or the calendar with little doors that we count down on.
Right, right. So you just finished an in-service with the Pastoral Center here at Quigley, and also at the Archbishop or the Cardinal Meyer Center on the infancy narratives, and focusing specifically on Matthew. And mm-hmm. when we hear the story of the birth of Christ, we probably hear it either from the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of Luke, right, because there really isn't a whole lot of infancy narrative in Mark and John. So why Matthew, and why do you focus on this particular evangelist?
Well, that's a fairly simple question, because we're in the A cycle, which is the Gospel of Matthew.
Fair
so
enough.
It's a liturgical answer more than anything else. The Christmas story that we normally experience is Luke. You know, the Mary and Joseph and the child in the manger and the shepherds, etc., all is Luke. The Magi, the wise men, come from Matthew, and they're about the only piece of Matthew that enters into the Christmas story as we see it in terms of things. But I focused on Matthew simply because that's mm-hmm. the cycle that we're working with this time round. And I think there's some very fascinating pieces in Matthew also in terms of this. Both of the infancy narratives, both Matthew and Luke, can be viewed as a gospel in miniature, that the whole of Christ's life is narrated. There was a tradition in the ancient world that when a great person was born, there would then be eventually a narrative of that person's birth. And that narrative would contain significant parts that would give us a hint of who he was, or she was, mostly he, who and what his work would be and what his life would be like. And so we see that in both of the Gospels as such. One interesting piece is you can catch that whole Gospel in miniature in the gifts of the Magi. And I don't think too many people will look at that and say, oh, yeah, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, when you ask the question, why gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Well, yes, gold and frankincense are mentioned in Isaiah 60 and so on, so maybe that's where it came from. But in reality, gold is a sign of kingship. And Christ was Messiah. The Messiah of the Old Testament was the king. And so that's a whole kingly messianic aspect. So this child is a king. Frankincense is offered to divinity. And so he's divine. He's God. He's a Messiah who is God. So there, the two gifts give us a very significant piece of who this child is. The third one is the one people look at when they find out what it is. Myrrh is a burial spice. And you say, why in the world would anyone offer a burial spice to a newborn child? Well, again, in line with the fact, if he's Messiah King, who is divine and God, he's going to suffer and he's going to find himself dying for us. Yeah. And so the whole of the gospel is contained in those three gifts.
And that really adds to the richness of Matthew's story.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
There are similarities between Matthew and Luke. The main characters, the supporting characters, the titles that are attributed to Christ, the son of David. There's the heritage. There's the names of the places, Nazareth, Galilee, Bethlehem, and Judea. But there are also some differences, right?
Yes.
And let's... let's maybe take one or two of your favorites between Matthew and Luke. What would you, if you had to point them out, what would you reflect on?
Well, basically, the birth itself is narrated in Luke. It really is not narrated in Matthew. And that story, you know, of the manger and Mary and Joseph looking for a place to stay, etc., I think fits in a lot with a number of things in people today. You know, there's homeless people, there's people who are in need, etc. And the Holy Family, you can identify with them in that, you know, and they can identify with the Holy Family in that.
I'm going to interrupt you because we're going to take a quick break, but the only thing I want to get back to also is the issue of the genealogy, which you said came up as a question, because that's kind of a distinction too, because in Matthew it's there, and in Luke it's not there until later on.
Right, later on.
9:52 in the morning, Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. We'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Mm-hmm. And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Father Jim McElhone is my guest this morning. He is the Director of Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Just before the break, Father Jim, we're talking about the genealogy question, which actually came up in your in-service at the Cardinal Meyer Center, and that Matthew goes through a very specific genealogy of Jesus as part of the infancy narratives. You don't hear about it in Luke until later on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Matthew's genealogy is one that is read rather free, you know, in the liturgy as such, and many people don't like the idea because it's just basically a bunch of names that don't mean anything. But again, when you mention Matthew's genealogy and Luke's genealogy, not only is the location different in the two Gospels, but also the genealogy is different. Matthew begins with Abraham and goes through primarily the Davidic line, the kings of Israel, and ends with Joseph. Luke begins with Jesus, who was supposedly the son of Joseph, and that's the language that he uses, mm-hmm. and then works his way back and ends at Adam. Mm. And so it's interesting. Why does Matthew begin with Abraham? Why does Luke end with Adam? Well, Matthew is a gospel that is primarily written for a Jewish Christian community. Abraham is the father of the Jewish faith, and so that's a logical place for Matthew to begin his genealogy. In fact, he starts at the book of Jesus the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then goes forward. Luke is a much more universal gospel, more written to a Gentile audience, and so the father of all of humanity is Adam. And so everybody's included in Adam, basically. And so I think it makes very good sense that Luke would go back to Adam as such. But then also, Luke has Jesus as Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, via the angel's message to Mary. But also he goes on to say, Adam was the son of God also. And so both in his divinity and his humanity, he becomes son of God.
There is tremendous richness to the infancy narratives, and we could spend hours talking about not only Matthew, but Luke, and to some degree what the references to the birth of Christ are even in Mark and John, too. Mm-hmm. But that will leave for another show. Before we go, I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to talk about another dimension of your work here, and that is in pilgrimages. Talk a little bit about what that's going to mean for the office.
One of the things that we have done for the last 10 years or so at the seminary is we take the third year students to the Holy Land for a pilgrimage for 10 weeks. As a result of that, as in this new job, I'm feeling that, you know, just seeing what happens with them and what happened with me being there with them, it would be a great thing to be able to take people from the diocese, not for 10 weeks, but rather for 10 days or 10 to 12 days to the Holy Land. And as part of this new position that I'm in, my plan is to try to organize an archdiocesan pilgrimage around the fall of 2011 and another in the spring of 2012 for approximately 10 to 12 days, walking the footsteps of Jesus and walking the footsteps of the apostles, visiting the places that were significant. And I have found that once you've done that, you do not read or hear the scriptures in the same way again.
You've done it?
Yes. Oh, I've done it many times.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you hear from people that you've taken on that journey after they come back?
They're just speechless, really. Yeah. They just are absolutely amazed at, you know, how the scriptures come alive. They've been in the places, now they can see, you know, when you go down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, or when you are out, one of the greatest things of all was they were out on the Sea of Galilee, and it was a rainy day, and so the boat was rocking a bit and so on, but then all of a sudden, the sun came out and it calmed.
Yeah.
And that was a moment for them of wonder. And they began to understand all those texts in the Sea of Galilee.
What a powerful way to advance the mission of your office and making the Word of God relevant.
Exactly.
It's a terrific idea. Well, first of all, thanks for being with us today. Best wishes in your new role as the Director of Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Thank you.
God bless you in all your work. Father Jim McElhone has been my guest. You have been listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM on this Friday morning. Special thanks to Diane Dunnigan, our producer this morning, our engineer extraordinaire, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. That's what it says here on the paper I have to read. Have a terrific weekend. Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, as we now move 1 week closer to the great feast of Christmas. God bless you all and have a terrific week.
Wow.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.